KLO News.
If it was,
she has not been to any debate.
Booing and jeering at the Meet the Candidates event in NDG for the federal election, at the absence of sitting MP Anna Ganey.
I can vote for her the way she speaks.
And that's your decision.
This is not right.
The Meet the Candidates event is hosted by the NDG Community Council every Canadian federal election. It's a chance for community members to get to know the platforms of the candidates running in the riding for a seat in the House of Commons. Malcolm Lewis Richmond from the NDP, Marc Perez from the People's Party, Félix Antoine Brault from the Bloc Québécois, Arnold Downey from the Green Party, and independent Alex Trainman Montegno attended the event to answer community questions. Conservative candidate Neil Drabkin was absent, and most notably, sitting MP and Liberal candidate Anna Ganey was not in attendance. Ganey had sent two pre-recorded answers on housing and immigration to the event, which were played on a screen. Multiple members of the audience booed, walked out, and turned their backs.
$1 trillion in debt. No, but how the government created the debt? Why are the houses going to come?
Excuse me, we cannot have a debate.
Anna Ganey has canceled multiple public appearances in the riding, including her own campaign launch in March. The day after the NDG candidates meeting, Ganey was scheduled to appear at a meet and greet in the Montreal West Library, but canceled the moment it was scheduled to start.
I am so sorry. I'm shocked as much as you are.
Here's the organizer of that event, librarian Deborah Marcoglese.
I really wanted to know a little bit about her, like personally, so I had a bunch of silly questions to ask that I'm asking all the candidates. The second thing I was very interested in knowing is, what does she know about Montreal West? Like, what are the big issues that, like, federally are concerning Montreal West?
Ganey had walked into the library and turned around and walked right out before calling in to cancel. There was a group of community members from the riding representing the group Vote for Palestine there. They were hoping to talk to Ganey about their platform this election. One of their members, Samer Alkdor, says she believes Ganey left because she saw them and did not want to face the questions they had about Ganey's positions on Israel-Palestine.
We're here today to talk to her, and just like any other citizen in this country. And I heard that she canceled because she doesn't feel safe. I don't know why. Just seeing the keffiyehs maybe is scary for her.
What were you hoping to ask her if she came in and sat down? What would you have said to Anna?
Like, at least to endorse the Palestine platform and to see her stand on Palestine, since she's running for the elections right now. So this is, like, really important for issue. Since I'm Palestinian, I have family in Gaza, so we need to know about the people that we're going to elect if they're going to do anything in regards to Palestine.
NDG Westmount is projected to go Liberal and is considered a Liberal stronghold riding. Matthew Taylor is a doctoral candidate at the University of Montreal who studies party politics in Canada. He has a theory for why Ganey is not making many public appearances.
This is a riding that basically the Liberals need to be having a catastrophically bad election for them not to be winning. And for a candidate, that's going to create a lot of incentives to just not bother showing up in events. The worst you can do is actually hurt your campaign and yourself and your own standing by doing that, which, you know, I would say is a democratically problematic dynamic, but it is a dynamic nonetheless.
I'm standing out here in front of Anna Ganey's constituency office here in Westmount. Ganey has consistently denied an interview request with CJLO News for unspecified reasons. No one has spoken with me. I've knocked on the doors and I've been ignored by the people within the office. This is not for trying. We've attempted multiple times to phone Ganey's constituency office and her parliamentary office.
For the Local Journalism Initiative, I'm Adam Innes.
Puzzle tiles, run free for miles and get on stuff. Got a lot left. reveal themselves to me. Take shape now in my mind and find a way into this weird world. I mystify myself. Does my struggle speak to anyone else? Cut out characters on a show. Kick it out! Do the coat! Get along, get away, get go, get lost, get loose!
هاي حلوين معكم مي مريم and Judy.
Hi guys.
Hello everyone.
Voice of the voiceless. Today we're gonna be talking about a very special topic. So we're gonna be discussing immigrants' clutter and how we as immigrants came here to, you know, جينا على الغربة وبعدين we decided like what to get with us and everything and how it affects our lives. And we're also gonna discuss how such things in our lives like
affect us.
Yeah, and how we carry stuff that means so much to us, but we don't realize how, like, we don't realize its value until we know later, I think.
Yeah, so in summary, I think we're just going to talk about immigrant cluttering. And as we move from country to country, sometimes we sometimes keep stuff that cherish us and that remind us of our previous homes. So I think that's what we're going to talk about today, and hopefully you all enjoy. Do we have any questions that we could start off, or do you guys want to share your experiences of like maybe moving from one country to another and like bringing all your objects or some of your objects depending like how you planned it out? What do you guys think?
Go ahead, Judy.
Okay. It's a very interesting topic, that's first of all, because it's something that not necessarily, it's not about objects, it's also about things that you carry with you personally, even mm-hmm. like experiences, it could be like whatever, yeah. But I think now we're talking more about objects. So for me, for example, I moved a lot, like from Syria to Dubai, and then Dubai to Syria, and then Syria to here.
Right.
So like I moved 3 times. And when I was in Dubai, I used to go back to Syria. But every time I used to go back to Syria, I'm like, you know what? I'm going to take this with me. It's something that's really meaningful. It's something that I really like and I don't want to lose it. So I would take like an old toy, or like I would take a book that I've written before, or like a journal that I used to write when I was a child.
Mm-hmm.
I would take them with me because it's something that's so close to the heart,
yeah,
that you don't want to lose it.
And yeah, and especially as a child, I feel like you just like want to grab something that you love, and then if you like lose it, it's gonna affect you a lot because
it's
you're
true.
So mm-hmm. you're so you're touched by it, like you really like you it's attract, like it's something you want to be around. Yeah,
and as children I feel like we would be thinking like, yeah, we're attached to the object, but mm-hmm. we don't know like the emotional value until
mm-hmm.
later, like when we grow up, like you realize, oh wow, now I realize how I like this,
mm-hmm.
why I like
mm-hmm.
this.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
For example, a bear. I like it because it's cute, right? Years later, no, it's not because it's cute. It's because like
there's other meaning.
Yeah.
Some sort of attachment to it without even
exactly.
realizing. Yeah.
True.
Yeah.
But we don't notice when we're kids.
Of
I don't
course,
think
that's
we think
yeah.
about it. It's just like
we
oh,
don't.
It's my favorite toy.
Yeah, exactly. But we grow attached like since a very young age.
But then also like I feel like I remember my sister, for example, like because we were moving a lot when we were little, and we had to like bring our toys with us everywhere we go because we moved like from house to house so many times.
Mm.
And I remember like once my sister sister, she had this like very like special like dog, plushy dog, like a aww, toy, a soft dog.
Soft dog.
Yeah, I don't know how to explain it, but it was black and white.
Oh.
And she lost it once when we were moving, and then she started crying. Like she was like, she made like this whole tantrum, and like she was like, my mom was like, I can't do anything about it. Like it's gone. We with the moving and like, you know, from putting stuff in the box and then like losing it in the box, you don't know where it goes.
Yeah.
So it's just like, sometimes that happens, and I feel like also it affects you when you grow up too.
Is it the fear of like it's the fear of letting go of something.
Letting go because you were so attached to something, and then after when you're a child, it just like goes away.
It switches something else.
And I think as a children, like we don't know the meaning of letting go. Mm-hmm. We feel like we lost it, and
We just lost it. But it stays in your head.
Yeah, it does. It does.
You're like, I remember this thing that I used to have, but I can't really find it. What happened? Or maybe you go and ask your mom, like, where is it?
Where is it?
After a long time.
And she would remember sometimes, and you wouldn't remember.
Oh, yeah. Your mom?
She would remember. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Like, she used to carry this small thing everywhere with you.
Yeah.
I remember May told us yesterday about your experience with, like, the cluttering with your family.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Do you want to tell us about that?
Yeah. So, personally, for me, I didn't move a lot. I only like moved to two houses when I was in Lebanon, and then I moved from Lebanon to here. And to be honest, it was like, as I told the girls yesterday, like my parents were so like terrified of the idea of, oh my God, we're going to Canada, like we don't know what we do, etc. And they were getting every single thing you can find. Like at one point I couldn't even carry the luggage of how everything was so condensed and everything was like, and I felt like it reflects so much on the house and reflects so much on where I live right now, because my house is very cluttery, I would say. And it sometimes I feel like I don't want all of this clutter. Sometimes I feel like it's here for a reason. But if it was for me, I feel like I don't know. Sometimes I feel like I want to let go of everything. I want to throw everything. And I do that often, actually. Every like month I get this big bag of things that I don't want, and I throw. And I don't care. I throw. I fight with my mom about it, but I throw.
Like you don't want these. Like these. Do you think they're useless? Like that's why you throw them. Like what's the reason? Do you think you'd want to throw them?
Some stuff that are just expired. Some stuff that are empty. Some stuff that I don't think I want to use anymore. Some clothes that don't fit me anymore, and it's stuff like that. You know, but. The things about Arab moms, I don't know if it's just my mom, but they always find a solution for everything using stuff at home. You all, like, there's no way.
Yeah.
Every single thing. No, we can use this for I don't know what. You can use this for I don't know what. And I'm like, how do you think of that? Like, where do those ideas come from?
That's my, like, my dad has the same mentality. It's not only Arab moms, it's sometimes even Arab dads.
Really?
Yeah. He's like, I was about to, like, throw, let's say, like, a plastic jar or, like, a glass jar. And he was like, no, keep that jar. Maybe we can put something in it. I'm like, okay, but we have so many glass jars.
Yeah, exactly.
We have so many jars at home. Why do you need an extra jar? Like, it's not...
It's not something that you don't.
Yeah, it's not like you don't need it anymore. But like, yeah, it's that idea of like keeping something that may be useful in the future instead of like maybe going out and buying another one. But we have one already, so why would we need to buy one? You know, it's like that.
Yeah.
And the thing is, when it comes to like actually using it, we don't have it.
Yeah.
We would be it would be thrown like two days or like a few days before we actually need it. I'm like, why did we throw it all of this time? After all of this time.
But I just like had a question in my head. Like, do you think guys the attachment to stuff came from our parents in a way?
Like attached, no.
Like the attachment to stuff, as we said, like not throwing things, not doing this.
Like,
you know?
do you think our parents maybe influenced us?
In a way. Do you think?
Maybe, yeah.
In a way, yes. But I also like there's so many other factors. I feel like maybe like how you were maybe taught at school, like sometimes like schools and teachers tell you like, oh, like keep the stuff that you like, cherish it. And like if it's valuable for you, why not keep it? I don't know. Maybe like the teachings outside of home also affects you, maybe with your friends, like you get influenced and things like that. Or like I saw like sometimes like documentaries once, like about like minimalism.
Oh yeah.
And I saw like how like people are living in within a minimalistic life. And then like I see like, for example, there was this like guy in the documentary, he had like nothing in his house, like literally nothing. It was just like a, like it was a very clean, very like modern, very like tidy, like everything was in its place, so minimalistic. And I was like, wow, that looks so good.
Would you want that?
And I tried. I tried. I think after the documentary, like after a few days or something like that, it was really in my mind. Like it was really like boiling in my mind. So I was like, I started like cleaning up. I started like, you know, like putting stuff in the garbage, like recycling some stuff. Mm-hmm. And I feel like after you do that, like you have this like very, you feel very at ease. Like you, your house or your room is like so clean, and you just feel so light.
Yeah.
And it just feels really, really good. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I would agree. But at the same time, there's like a dark side to minimalism.
Yeah, of course.
Like that you feel like a house is like doesn't have a life anymore, or a room doesn't have a life anymore. It is therapeutic, not gonna lie, but at the same time, it sucks the life out of a house or like a place.
Yeah, because it kind of looks like an office. Like it doesn't look, very bland, very like monotone. No, like there's no richness in it. Like it doesn't have any story. It's just like a, like you know, like a couch with just like one shelf. Like it's nothing. It's nothing like.
You can add
colors,
something unique that would represent you. You can mix minimalism with like a bit of cluttering, and I think it would balance the way the house would look. So you would add memories, photos, plants.
I think so. As you have
colors,
as long as you have balance,
And I think people like at one point confused minimalism with quiet luxury. You know what I mean? Have you like? Do you know what quiet luxury is?
It's like using luxurious brands that doesn't have their name on it, something like that.
It's more like, as I said, like, for example, like Kim Kardashian's house. Did you see it?
I think I've seen it quickly,
Or, like, something like that. Like, something that's so, it looks like luxurious and whatever, but at the same time, it's dead.
It's dead, It has dead. No story, nothing.
No. But what's the point of that?
Exactly. It's so stupid.
If there's not a shelf with like all sets of cups and like sets of
we were
like
talking about that yesterday.
What's the point?
God. Yeah, we were talking about that.
I think the whole idea of cluttering is keeping memories available to you 24/7. Let's say the Kardashians' home or like quiet luxury, they don't have like that like in their house, there's no story. Okay, a designer made this. Okay, and like it's nothing personal to you. Like if you clutter, you have this plate that you had from your like grandparents or you had it from your mom or things like that. So it's like, I think the idea of cluttering is just like keeping objects that are that you cherish and that like evokes a lot of stories and memories in your mind. So. Yeah, that's the richness of it, I think. Yeah,
It's true. It's like all the memories that's included within this clutter. It's like when I have something, for example, my clothes, it's so hard for me to give up something. It's because I might use it. I have like this small thing, but then like I have like so many shoes in my place and I don't use them. And my mom was like, why do you keep them? Just like give them away. Like give them away to the people. You don't use them. I'm like, Mama, it's like, it's something that I think I will use, but I'm not really in the mood right now. Yeah. And actually there are some things I would use after.
Yeah. Like maybe it's about like the time or maybe.
Yeah. And the time. And also like it's connected to something like this shirt I wore when I was maybe in Dubai and I went out with my friend, or like this shirt is like when you did a surgery and maybe I was wearing this shirt. It's connects.
Everything is related to memories. Everything
I think
is
so.
Related to memories.
Like subconsciously, unconsciously.
Exactly.
Like you cannot give up on stuff.
Yeah. And I feel like maybe it's all related to survival mode. Like, for example, as immigrants, when we clutter so much, we're just like thinking of survival. Like we want to keep the memory alive in a way, or we survive on this memory or we survive on that memory. Yeah. So we cling to the thing.
Okay, I get what you're saying. Actually, it might be true because, for example, once my mom went to Syria and she cleaned like her house without my grandma really knew. And then my grandma was like, why did you clean them? Like, where's this thing? Why did you throw it? But like my mom just like cleaned it because she wanted to do something nice.
Yeah.
And also there are some stuff from the kitchen that my mom threw away because either ways, my grandma is not going to use them.
Yeah.
Or like nothing. But now every time my grandma like remembers something, all of a sudden, where is it? I think if you've thrown this thing, I don't think it's here. Like, I think it's not there. But it's just like, as you said, it's like connecting it to the memory that mm-hmm. it used to have to you right. when you used to live in this place. And True. Now you cannot see it.
Yeah.
It's like, oh my gosh, this memory is going to fade, or this yeah. thing is going to fade because I don't see it anymore. Like, yeah. I don't see it every day. Where is it, you know?
Yeah, I know.
Where are the people? Where are the everything?
Yeah, that's True. What I was saying. You're holding on memories. Mm. When you yeah. hold on objects, you hold on memories. So I think that's the whole idea behind it. I have a question for you guys. I was reading our our plan, but it said, this question is, how do we carry our childhoods across borders, especially when nothing physical can come with us? So if I understand this question correctly, it's like, sometimes as children, like we when we move to a certain place or to a certain home, sometimes we can't bring everything with us because I don't know, like our parents, they don't allow it, or it was too last minute to even like have time to like bring everything with you.
Mm-hmm.
So how do you think we can carry out our childhood if we're not able to like bring our objects that represent our childhood with us?
Mm-hmm. Oh, that's such an interesting topic.
Yeah, it is.
Because mm-hmm. I don't think we thought of it when we were children.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Like, I don't think I've yeah. ever...
So how do you kind of like...
remember?
Recompense? Like, how do you get that childhood with you after you
Carry
leave?
It.
After you leave your childhood? Mm-hmm. Your, like, objects that connect
like
to your childhood.
How you compensate.
How you compensate for it. Okay. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. What do you guys think? Do you, like, have any, maybe memories or, like, something, especially usually you moved quite some time, a lot. Mm-hmm. So
I think
how
one
did
of
you cope with that? Yeah.
I think one of the things was, like, looking through the memories, mm-hmm. looking through the pictures that we used to have mm-hmm. these times, yeah. during that time. And I think that was like the photos, the videos of my childhood that really helped me yeah. cope with whatever I was dealing with mm-hmm. at that time, mm-hmm. moving to a new place. Because I went to Egypt first and then we went to Dubai. Mm-hmm. Like, that yeah. was a big change for me.
Mm-hmm.
Actually, we went to Lebanon, Egypt, and then Dubai.
Wow, so like
one month, two months,
yeah.
and then Dubai. Like we lived there, we decided to live there. So it was just like quite a shift. But during yeah. that, I think I wasn't thinking that we weren't going back to Syria because mm-hmm. my dad was always saying, oh, like, actually, you know, we're going back next year. Going back
yeah.
like we're going back, we're mm-hmm. going back. So in my head I'm like, okay, he always says we're going back, that means I think I'm gonna get back the
okay,
memories
or
the toys,
grab your toys,
okay. I'm gonna see right. my toys again,
right, you right know? Right.
And we did go back. I did tell you yesterday mm-hmm. that we did go back in 2015 after like 2 years or 3 years of not going.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. We went back, and actually when I went back, I looked through all my toys, all the pictures, and like
did you feel?
It felt really nice, actually, to connect back with my toys and play with them. And, like, mm-hmm. you know, all of this, like, oh, my God, I used to be here and now I'm way older. But at the same time, I'm still young. But at the same time, I changed as a person. I'm not yeah. the same as yeah. I was when I left. Because when I left, I was, like, 9.
Mm-hmm.
I came back, I was 12, 13.
Okay,
so it
yeah.
was, like, such a big difference.
Yeah,
between
especially yeah. at the age you grow up very quickly. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, like, you don't feel it until you actually go back.
Mm-hmm.
And then I was able to grab some toys and like my journals and stuff
yeah.
like that. Yeah, so this is something how I dealt with it.
This is how
it.
You coped with, like, you know, leaving your mm-hmm. objects from childhood.
That's, yeah,
like
that time. Because it was at that time.
Mm-hmm.
What yeah. about you, May?
For me, I feel like, because I'm trying to make an answer for the question, because like my mind is like foggy when it comes to this question, because I feel like I don't remember much from my childhood, and I like left 5 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
I came here 5 years ago. And the only thing I can think about right now is just like wanting to sit in my room, like mm-hmm. my room back home,
mm-hmm.
and just sit there, like stare at the pink wall that I have.
Mm-hmm. Okay, okay. But in terms of like I don't know if you moved quite a lot, but let's say
No.
Yeah, yeah. Okay, I'm like, this is probably a question that tailors yeah. to people who move. But yeah, my question was more about like how maybe people who are listening also can answer the question. If you
yeah.
guys like moved a lot in your life and you weren't able to like get objects that really like help you reminisce about your childhood, how would you cope with that? Like, would you like, I don't know, how try to like go on media, find cartoons that you liked? What mm. like how did you cope with that feeling of like not being able to bring your objects
watching
with
cartoons
you?
Was something
yeah.
actually
yeah.
I think I used to watch cartoons.
That helped
the
me
same
a lot
one.
I was about yeah? to say yeah.
what's your what's yours?
About to say, like, I didn't have a lot of toys when I was little because we moved a lot and I used to always lose them. Mm. And it was just too much, just buying new toys all the time every time we moved to a different city or different country. So I used to watch a lot of like media. I used to like watch a lot of YouTube when I was a bit older, like around the age of like 12. Mm-hmm. Before that, I used to watch a lot of cartoons just to like help me, like, you know, put myself in that world of like being a child, and like being imaginative and things like that. But otherwise, yeah, I think a lot of media, a lot of cartoon, a lot of like, I used to read a lot of books too. Mm-hmm. It like helped me really like dive in that like imagination.
Okay. Same.
Because I didn't have a lot of toys around me, so the only way I could like really put myself in a creative world would be through cartoons or books.
And did it remind you of the childhood that you used to have in other places that you were at? Like, did you have like one specific thing that you would actually want to go to every time you would move to a place? You would want to watch, or you would want to read, or you would want
to, I mean, like, for example, cartoons, like, especially in the US when I moved like from state to state and from home to home, like, there was always that same channel, right? There was like always that same channel that you could go to. Like, let's say you live in like one state and then you move to another state, it's the same channel, so I would go to the same channel and I would see the same shows I used to see when I was in my other city, when I lived in that other city. Like, for example, I lived in New York for 4 years, then I moved to Connecticut when I was 8, so that's from to another state. So it was the same, like, same broadcasting channels, because it was like near in the same region. So I used to just watch, like, for example, like Cartoon Network or Nickelodeon or things like that, like where you can like see it anywhere you are in the US. That like helped me like really
cope with the
memories that I used to have, and then like always like continue with those memories when I'm in a new city.
Did you move your furniture with you too when you went from one city to the other, or was it like different furniture? Because different furniture does also create different memories too.
True. I think we did, especially if it was like in the same country, like in the US we did.
And in France, maybe?
In France, no, we left everything.
Or here?
Here we left, when we moved from the US to France, we left everything in the US. Like, my dad sold everything and we started new in France. But when we moved to, also when we moved to France to here, we left everything behind. Because my dad already had some sort of furniture here in Canada, so we didn't need to bring
everything
in France. Like, we just sold them in France, and we sold the fucking I don't want to curse. I just got really mad. Like, my dad sold a TV for like $200, and it was like a 64-inch TV.
Oh my god.
Anyways.
But
it might be when he sold my bike. I cried. I got mad.
I got really mad. But anyways, yeah.
But how do you feel about like the idea of like going, leaving everything and starting new?
It's stressful. I feel like it's you're going into the unknown and it's a bit scary. You just don't know what's gonna happen. It's like, you don't know, you know, you don't know how your new apartment will look like, or you don't know like who will be your friends, or it just like, you just don't know what's gonna happen, and you have to like cope with that. You have to be very open to anything.
Yeah.
So if anything happens, it happens, and you can't really like try to like project yourself to a certain moment, because you don't know what's gonna happen. Like, you don't know who you're gonna meet, so you're just like diving into the unknown. Honestly, it wasn't easy. And I guess like a lot of people relate to that, especially like you move from you know, to a new university, or you move to a new school, or to a new job. You always like have to like dive into the unknown, which is scary and sometimes stressful.
How did you feel when you were like going to the unknown? Like, what was your feeling of like leaving everything? And did you know that you were not going to go back for a while? Or
I knew.
You knew?
I knew, and I remember I was so eager to leave. I was so eager. I was like, yeah, I'm leaving.
You're ready.
I remember like telling my friends back home, like, oh, I'm leaving. And they're like, oh, you're just like, you know? They're like, oh no, you're not gonna leave, you always take Canada, and you never do. And when I left, it was a shock for everyone.
Okay.
I said goodbye to two of my friends. No one knew until I arrived, and then I stayed at home for like 8 months before actually going into the real world in Canada. So it was weird. I was,
because it was COVID during that time.
It was COVID, and actually it was my prime in writing. It was my prime time in writing. I wrote like a novel and I just like left it. I mean, I wish like I stayed more so I can finish that. But
and I think you were like, it was the right time for you because you moved. You had like a lot of things to say, a lot of things to let out. So and plus like during COVID, you were staying at home.
Yeah.
You were in a new country. So you had that time to write.
Mm-hmm. And I remember I was working on that like 2018. So it was 2020 at that time. So it took me so long. It took me so long to begin, but I finished it so fast. And that's how usually
things
happen, I guess, when it comes to such projects.
Because you think about it too much, but then when you actually do it, you're like, okay, I have so many things that I can
say.
And it doesn't end. Like, if I want to, I can still continue, but you have to end it somewhere, which is... Yeah.
Actually, speaking of clutter, you know, I wrote that novel on copybooks.
Copybooks?
Yeah.
What's that?
On, like, lots of books, but we'll talk about it, like, after.
Yeah. We're going to go on a break, and then we'll be back. Sorry.
Production Nuit d'Afrique invites you to discover new talent with its World Music Showcase, the 18th edition of Cité d'Or dans la musique du monde. Come discover 36 acts every Tuesday and Wednesday at Club Balatou until April 9th. Take part in the free showcase concerts and vote for your favorite artists. More info on Cité d'Or.com, Facebook, and Instagram.
If you like served with a side of a little bit of and a heaping helping of, then you're gonna love BVST, your best and worst of rock and roll, country, punk, and metal, every Wednesday from 7 to 9, right here on CJLO 1690 AM.
Welcome back, guys. You were listening to El Donia Ptati by Lella Fedda. Shout out to her because she's a very talented artist. I was telling you guys how a part of clutter is writing on books, notebooks or copybooks. Mm. We used to call them back in Lebanon copybooks. So I have like 10 of those back home.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. And I'm so scared like one day my mom will like throw them and I'm gonna be like, no, not my work, you know.
Do you have them here? Did you bring them?
I do have them here, actually. Okay. I will show them to you guys. They like like a big bag.
Wow.
It's a pink bag with like stuffed with notebooks.
Really? And like all full of stories and like journals.
It's like all one story. Like it's one book.
One book about what? About like it's a diary or
it's like no, it was a novel I decided to work on, but it was like too complex. I was going through a psychological thriller at the time.
So you
wrote about like psychological
I did. I remember I was like trying to write about like I don't know. It's too complicated to explain, to be honest, because
I mean, it's like 10 books. So.
Yeah, it is.
I understand why.
And even the plot is like complicated, I would say. So I can't even break it down. And I think it's a writer's thing. You ask them, what's the plot? And they're like, oh, I don't know.
Yeah, that's like, interesting. Mm-hmm. Yeah, having like that, so many books. That many books you wrote. Yeah.
Have you ever reread them? I'm just wondering.
My journals, yes. My diaries, yes. But the books, I haven't touched them in 4 years.
Wow.
Okay. So if you come back to them.
I started working.
Yeah. I wonder how you'll feel when you go back to them. That's also like the idea of cluttering, like bringing stuff with you, leaving it in a corner for like years and going back and like feeling such intense emotions.
True. Yeah, because I remember back in 2018, I was writing a little bit on like my balcony back home and I stopped and then I took all the notebooks that I can find in my home. I'm like, I took them with me. I was like, yo, I'm gonna need these. And then I remember one day my mom, when we first moved here, she was like, oh, I'm gonna throw all the notebooks, like you don't need them anymore. And I was like, no,
keep them, these are
no, like this could be my best work yet, I don't know.
Yeah, you never know, actually.
You can always
know.
Come back to I'm it scared, and though. Things like that, you have to go I'm back anxious. To them and see. Yeah, maybe you wrote something valuable, you don't know.
Maybe this will inspire you to work on something new or do something new or write something.
I'm actually planning on writing something new.
Oh, just say.
Wink, wink.
Yeah. I was going to tell you guys soon, but like, yeah, now you know.
A book? No way.
That's amazing. I'm so excited.
This summer, I decided that I want to work on a novel.
That's so great.
It's really exciting. Yeah. Tell us more about that very soon.
I will tell you soon once I know the idea.
It's fine. Take your time with this. It takes time.
Yeah.
But you're a great writer and you'll be able to do it.
As long as I have you guys, I know I'm going to be great.
So cute.
So I remember we just talked about like the idea of minimalism and obviously the opposite or the, you know, the contrary of minimalism is materialism. And there's a question for you guys. Why do you think people are so materialistic? I know we mentioned like the fact of holding memories and things like that, but like I feel that there's so much more about it. Like, do you think it's more about like maybe societal expectations, things like that? What do you have in mind?
It could be societal expectations. Mm-hmm. Like we want to show that we have this type of thing. You know, like we talked about like the sets, having so many sets at home and no one touches them except when someone comes to your place and they want to actually see. Like you take off the fanciest, the best out of the best plates and you would give them. And we were talking about it. We're like, why don't
we use them? We use them ourselves. Yeah.
Why don't we buy it to ourselves and we buy it to the people in front of us?
Right.
That's true.
It's like, you know, like, so it's all about like also showing people what you have in a way.
It's like reputation. Yeah. It's like the idea of reputation. Like, oh, and then you got to make sure like the plates are like very clean. So in order to like keep them very clean, you cannot even touch them.
Yeah.
So it's about impressions, reputation for sure. Yeah.
Like what's the point of نمسح الغبرة, like throwing the dust off them and not using them? Like what's the point?
Yeah, and yeah,
I
feel
like, but guys, like, I think it all goes back to the idea of, oh, money buys happiness. So people find find temporary happiness when they buy stuff. You know what I mean?
Yeah, the shopaholics.
Yeah, the shop.
Well, I go through
it as therapy. I do see it as therapy. Actually,
it stresses me out shopping. Really? Honestly. Yeah, it stresses me out. I feel like it calming.
It can be therapeutic when you. Like, you haven't went shopping in so long.
And maybe. Then you see, you were like, okay, I'm going to go and I want to buy. I want to buy.
Just because.
You're just feeling it. Okay. It doesn't happen all the time. Sometimes I go, I'm like, okay, why am I here? I don't really need anything. Why do I need to spend stuff on things that are not necessary for me?
True.
Right.
You know?
True.
Yeah.
But like, yeah, people tend to be very materialistic. So that's why actually in relationships and friendships, gifts are like expected all the time. Mm. Or like something material is expected all the time. And I feel like also in relationships, standards, like I girl standards.
Yeah. Yeah. A lot of people would want something materialistic.
Yeah, you ask a girl. Yeah, like what do you look for a guy? Oh, I want someone who buys me gifts. Girl. That's the first thing that you want. Okay, you can buy it for yourself, but like, it's more than that.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Everything is related to materialism right now.
It's for me, I think it should be like, if you want someone to get you something, I would want something more like something that I talked about, and then the details.
Yeah, they remember.
They remember the details, and then they get me, but not like.
Yeah, but not like al firgo al battal. No, excuse me. What's the point?
Yeah, exactly. You would want something like not very materialistic, like something. That worked hard on, or like thoughtful.
That's low key. Isn't that low key like love bombing, in a way?
Giving gifts,
excessive amount of gifts just because.
Would
we consider it that, or would we consider it just acts of love? But what
depends,
you know, because love has a lot of languages.
I think some people, their love language is like giving gifts. So maybe they don't, and maybe it's hard for them to express their feelings or things like that. So they do that by gifting people, which I understand. But in terms of love bombing, I think more love bombing is more just like you know, pushing pushing so much love to someone that. To the other person, it's overwhelming.
Yeah.
I think that's what love bombing is. Yeah.
Like, in a way, yeah.
Overwhelming, yeah. Like, no. What?
Like, it's like, so you're receiving so much love that, like, you're saying that, oh my God, where is this coming from? So it comes back to the gifting. Like, if someone gives you so many gifts, you're like, wait, what's happening?
Yeah,
like, is this so overwhelming, you know?
Yeah.
That's what I meant by, like, love bombing, which is maybe you're right.
Yeah, that was the point.
Yeah.
It might be true, yeah. It might be, like, when it becomes too much, too much. Like, I don't want that anymore. Give me something else.
Yeah.
Something unique. It's too much.
Like, we're talking and I feel like my heart is like khalas.
Change the things.
Yeah, exactly.
Expectations of owning so much and having so many things. I guess this is more about like what are the expectations of owning stuff.
I think we were talking about like how, for example, like back home, we would have so many things and everything would like come to us, and you know what I mean, like we don't need to worry about anything, but then when we come here we have to work, we have to earn basic necessities, when like, you know,
we don't think about the cluttering as much.
Exactly. Right. Like all our worries at one point were just like school, home, and like friends. Now our like responsibilities are like work, bills, wanting to get something for yourself. And sometimes you go through that phase where like you're so occupied by the clutter and work and life that you don't even get when was the last time you got something for yourself? You two.
Yeah, that's a very good question.
I think it's like been a long time.
Just because
it's actually been a long time. Yeah.
Same.
Yeah.
Same. We don't do that. I think we should do that.
Because we do for others. We get stuff for others more, but we don't get for ourselves.
We need to take care of ourselves.
True.
I think we forget about that a lot.
Yeah.
Follow up question.
Yeah.
Please. If there's one thing that you want to get for yourself right now, what is it? What would it be?
I want to get a plane ticket to Bahamas. That's
wow.
Valid.
I was going to say something else. You're like, I was going to say flowers, and you're like, oh my God, it's
balance. Like, okay. Balance.
Oh my God. Yo, I've been dreaming about the beach nonstop since December.
So when we were doing your workshop, like her topic was like planning a trip, the beach, and I was like, manifest that.
We need to go.
It's manifesting.
No, we're manifesting literally out here, yo.
You never know. Wallah, buy it. If you have the money, go for
I'm
it.
I'm gonna buy it.
One way ticket.
I need to save up. And
one way ticket? Would you do one way ticket?
I would.
Would you?
One way ticket, not to the Bahamas, but
where? Where?
Probably to like another like big city. I feel like it's nice.
And what would you take with you other than necessities?
Oh yeah, that's another question that we had. Like, if you ever want to travel somewhere and you would. You can only take one thing. What would it be?
Okay. I said the answer to May yesterday, but me, it's like anything that reminds me of my childhood, I'll bring it with me. So I have this like journal that I used to write in when I was like 6, 7, and I used to write just like random stuff. Mm-hmm. So I would bring that with me, and I still have it. So that's a surprise. Mm-hmm. And I have like my pictures when I was a baby. Mm-hmm. I'll bring. So yeah, I can like I can just put everything aside, like except my phone and my wallet, but everything I can just like throw everything away and just bring my childhood stuff. So as long as I have my childhood stuff and my basic necessities, I'm good. I can like move to another place. Preferably to like a big city. I'd love to like move to a new big city.
New York.
Same.
New York or
New York.
Any like city in like Europe or like Eastern Europe or Northern Europe or things like that, just to like start new is also nice too. Mm-hmm. But we'll see.
That's London.
London is really nice. Yeah. Everyone loves London. Everyone who was in London, they love it.
Mm-hmm.
There's a really nice cities in the UK. Newcastle, that's really nice. Birmingham. There's so many like beautiful cities in the UK. But yeah, New York is also a good one.
Yeah, New York is a very nice
city. New York, I would say.
What would you bring?
Right. Me? I don't know, like maybe either a journal. I'd definitely get that because I want to write a new story in it.
Mm-hmm. And like an empty journal or a journal you used to have when you were a child?
I would take two.
Oh, okay.
One empty and one like I had before.
Okay, but you can buy a journal like in the other city you're in.
You
need to save up space for your luggage, right?
I know, but like maybe, for example, like maybe this journal was gifted to me.
Oh, okay. It has a connection with you.
Yeah, maybe it has a connection. Yeah, okay. Exactly. And I would say maybe a sweater.
A sweater.
Okay. Someone's sweater.
Okay.
From someone, okay.
So it's from connected. From who?
Not on live. Sorry.
We're gonna go on break, guys. We're gonna go on break. We'll come back
for
in
later,
a few minutes.
Later, yeah. We'll keep that for
Design
later.
Computational art students are presenting Nodes.na, their annual year-end exhibition. From April 15th to 17th, discover a wide range of future-facing work, from sustainable materials and furniture design to games and immersive environments. The show highlights the intersection of ideas, disciplines, and identities emerging from one of Concordia's most innovative programs, and it offers a glimpse into what's next in design. The exhibition will be open to explore at the Société des Arts Technologiques from April 15th to the 17th and culminate in an unforgettable final event on April 17th from 6 to 9 p.m. We've got some great stuff in store for our guests. It's 18 plus only, free entry for all, and we'll see you there.
Hi, and welcome to the show tonight. Tonight we have
the best new music.
But right now, let's check out the changes in this week's
CJLO
Top 30.
Charts and crafts. Counting down the best new artists played at the station. Every Friday at noon, only on CJLO 6090 AM.
تسعى للخمسة عم نموت نصينا حالي بدي كون مثل بيروت شو حلو الليلة كل شي منتمنى موجود وبغزي نفسي بس لبرر الوجود
You were listening to CJLO's 1690 AM, Voice of the Voiceless. Welcome back. We had the time to rest right now.
Yeah.
So after all the laughing.
We did have a cliffhanger, I would say.
I didn't do anything, guys. What do you mean?
No, we're good.
I don't think.
I don't know what happened.
Yeah, Shusar.
I didn't do anything.
Anyways, Kifkun.
Let's change the topic.
Yeah, okay. Kifkun.
I had a question I thought of actually while we were on break and listening to the song. Actually, I didn't explain this. The song's name is Ashabi by Mashrua Leila. It's a very nice song. And the question I was thinking of is, if you happen to lose one object, the object that I really care about, like your book, for example, your childhood, and your books to your journals, if you lose them, how do you think what will you feel right now if you lose it? Like, what's the feeling that you would get afterwards?
Honestly, I would say empty, but I feel like that's too that's too big of a word. Maybe like I've lost something that was so useful to me to the point that like it's
it will obviously, I will like think about it all the time, like now, and like now I don't have it anymore, I'll think about it more than I used to. Mm-hmm. And maybe I would like think about the times where I could have like maybe grabbed it and read it, because now I'm not reading it now. Mm-hmm. But maybe I should, like, just who knows, so one day I will lose it, maybe, I don't know what will happen. Yeah. So I think I have to find time now to actually like grab the book and really read it and remember mm-hmm. my childhood before it's too late, you don't know. So yeah. And I feel like if I ever lose it, I'll regret the times where I had the moments to grab and read mm-hmm. the book.
When's the last time you read it?
It's been a long time. It's been years, probably. I would say like maybe 3-4 years.
Wow.
Yeah.
Okay,
yeah. It's still
time.
In wow. my it's still in my bedroom. It's like in a drawer, like yeah. the fifth drawer of my.
Oh, okay. That's very specific.
Very specific. Yeah.
When I come to your house
exactly
next time.
I know exactly where it is.
This is where
but
I'll find
I barely
it.
Touch it. Like I barely grab it. And it's been like maybe like years I haven't like taken a look at it. So, yeah. But I know exactly where it is.
Mm-hmm.
Like if you tell me right now, I know exactly where it is. Because I always see it. Every time I open that drawer, I always see the journal, but I never open it.
So. You might open it soon, actually.
I might.
Yeah.
No, I think I will.
This.
I feel
at
like
this
you
point,
will consider after this,
yeah,
this episode.
At this point, I will. You know, see, watch me tonight reading my childhood memories.
Yeah, you should.
You know when you clean your room and you like end up opening all of these like childhood, like, you know, like your stories, and you read yeah. everything, the specific details. This yeah. is what always happens yeah. when we're cleaning our room.
Yeah.
Yeah. What about you, May?
For me, I would feel like if I lost, like, let's say the journal, I would feel like I've never lived a life before.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, you would just like
maybe I never maybe I'm just
but
like
it's still in your head, it's still there.
One thing about me that I don't remember anything in mm-hmm. my, like, I can't remember anything from my childhood. I don't know why.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
Do you have, like, maybe one memory you could share that's really, like, stayed with you? If you have one.
If you want, of course.
Yeah,
if
no,
want.
No, of course.
Like a happy memory or, like, a significant memory.
I'm trying
maybe
to
you don't
remember.
Have many of... maybe that happens, but, like, you have some yeah. happy, momentful memories.
I'm trying to remember, like, from my childhood, like, how old are we speaking? Like,
whatever, wherever you can be, like, if
whenever.
You remember two.
Whenever, yeah.
Two, fine. Oh my god, yeah.
No, two, I don't
two is too
early.
Early. No,
yeah.
two is too early.
I remember, like, when my mom would take me to the supermarket and get me these marshmallows, the blue bag. Oh my god, they were blue.
Look
and
at
they
you.
Tasted like blueberries. And I always wanted. Yeah, and I always wanted to eat those every time we go to that specific supermarket. Yeah, I remember that.
That's a very nice memory. I think one thing is about memory is that the more you think and then you speak it and then you try to remember.
True.
But actually, do you believe that we make up things?
Yes.
Do you know
yes.
that we make
we
up
do.
Things?
I think
yeah, we
do.
Do.
Yeah.
We do.
Yeah,
we do.
Yeah,
we,
yeah.
do
yeah.
we do. We do.
I remember. I remember when I was little. I used to tell my mom. I remember when I was in your stomach.
What?
Hey, it's a different thing.
I was very, as a child, you were yeah. very imaginative. So I was like, oh,
no,
mama,
yeah.
I remember when I was in your stomach. Mm-hmm. Yeah, no, okay, that's weird.
Me, I would say I remember the texture of the my clothes when I was a baby, but I think it's just from the picture.
From the
I don't
picture.
Remember
that
it.
Yeah. Lot,
from
yeah.
the picture, I see the picture and
yeah.
I know how like my
yeah.
clothes
yeah.
texture is like.
Now that I talked about the memory, I do remember what the marshmallows taste like.
Really?
I can feel them in my mouth right now. I'm scared.
It's also
yeah.
psychologically, you
it
know,
is.
That's
yeah.
all psychologically.
You kind of create your own memories
in
based
way,
on the
do.
Photos that you've
yeah.
you've seen, right? Yeah.
But
in
we
a way.
Do make up a lot of stuff. Mm-hmm. We do. We're mm-hmm. actually very good at that.
We don't know though.
We don't know.
It might be true. Like mm-hmm. actually, some of the things we might say, like one, like there's a 50% chance that it might be true, but also 50% chance that it might be not true.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Like you might say, oh, actually, I live this memory, but. It would be actually not it, you know?
Right, yeah. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Yeah, it's a blend maybe of like real memories with memories you've created and just you kind of like
mm-hmm.
blend them together and create something new.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, 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 definitely. Yeah.
For me, if I lose like an object, like something that I really care about, I would be very sad. Like, which is
yeah.
like, you know, mm. one thing I'm afraid to lose is the videos that I used to have when I was a kid.
Oh, yeah.
I love these.
Yeah.
I love going back to my videos and just seeing how I reacted and how I did all of these things. Because these videos, like, actually teaches you a lot about who you are as a person
mm.
right now.
Mm.
So
yeah.
looking back at them
yeah.
at this age, I always look back. That's something really I always do. Yeah. So I understand how I was and how I was shaped. So I can understand how I'm like that right now.
Yeah, and how you change as a person, how you evolved. It's nice to like see that progress. Yeah.
Yeah, it's so interesting. That's why it's like very very sad thing.
Do you have them? Do you have them online, like on your computer? Or
not all of them. Oh, we have them in the old camera recorders.
Yeah, yeah, same. I have them in like videotapes.
Mm-hmm. Videotapes, exactly.
Like, I don't know. It's so hard nowadays to like play them because like
you need to go to the place and actually change them into CDs and then change them and put them in the laptop.
They I think that's what we should do. CDs.
You can. Oh, I did have some that I changed into CDs in Syria, but I didn't do them all. I need to finish them all.
Yeah, because I have so many videotapes I really want to go back and see, but it's hard to play them because there's no more devices to do.